Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namahatra
is given in the Kali Santra and Upanishad as the means by which one can become free from all the troubles of this age of Kali Yuga. But more than that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread this mantra throughout India, and then his followers have spread it throughout the world. It's the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, which are non-different from Krishna, as given in this book called the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the most important of all books for those who are practicing Bhakti Yoga. Those who practice Bhakti Yoga keep this book in their home, and they offer respects to it every day, and they hear something from it every day. It is one of out of 64 items of the practice of Bhakti Yoga. Hearing from this book each day is one of the five most important items of practice and devotional service. In this book was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most recent incarnation of Krishna, taught that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate authority on everything. So anything you ever wanted to know about Bhakti Yoga is contained in this book, Srimad Bhagavatam. And there it says, Apana samsritim gora yannama vivisho grinan tata sadyo vimucheta yan pipheti swayam bhayam. That one can actually take shelter of this mantra just the way you would take shelter of Krishna, because Bhagavatam says there's no difference at all between Krishna and his name. And that fear personified is afraid of Krishna. So if you ever have trouble mentally or physically from your environment, you can say, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
And Krishna is directly there in his name to protect you. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is said to have wrapped the world with this garland of the holy name and prema. So we've received the Maha Mantra through a chain of teachers who have come down directly from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so it has a special quality to it, having received it through this chain of teachers. So much so that if one attentively chants this mantra daily, and there are a couple ways to do that. One way is to do it as a prayer, a kind of meditation, by chanting to oneself, just audibly so one can hear the mantra oneself, or one can chant it loudly with a group. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, has all the personal potencies of God. Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. Nija sarva shaktis means all the energies, all the personality, the form of God is there within his name. This is one of the very basic tenets of the Krishna consciousness movement. So, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the way we chant this is someone will lead the chant by singing, and then everyone will listen and then repeat back. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Fit as many as 2,000 people in this room. You could come closer, it's okay.
Yesterday we had
I'm vegetarian. There's a lot of people outside, I can see. We didn't get in, so. This is a tradition in the Gaudiya line. The devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to go to Jagannath Puri to visit him, and they'd all meet at Chandanacharya's house. And there was enough room for all of them, but somehow or other they fit in anyway. So we're trying to... That was pretty good. We got a good gap back there. First, I offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, as he's known to his followers, was very fond of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, he took it as the means through which he could help the world. How's that possible? Someone might think helping the world means doing something a little more demonstrative, tangible, like opening hospitals or feeding people, which is, these are very good causes, very important. But Srila Prabhupada considered the help that he was offering through bringing the Srimad Bhagavatam to light, not only in India, but all over the world, not just be a good cause, but to be a great cause. There are many, many good causes, but there's one great cause. And let me explain what I mean. In the Bhagavad Gita, how many of you are familiar with this book, Bhagavad Gita? Okay, the ones who didn't raise your hand, you can see me afterwards. I'll arrange for you to take a copy home. Krishna describes two different energies. They're different categories of energies. First, he says that there's earth, water, fire, air. Now imagine these as I'm saying them and consider something else. This is a kind of meditation that you can perform at home, but let's try it here. While I name the element, I want you to think of it in your own body and think of which part of your body is made of this element or mixture of the elements. Are you ready? Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. So these, Krishna says, makes up the separated material elements. And it just so happens that the physical and mental body I have are made up of these elements too. Now here's a huge surprise. It comes in the next verse. Krishna says, Apareyam itastanyam prakritim vidimi param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. You're none of those elements. So you can be a witness of those elements. You can sit down and actually meditate and feel the earth. Actually, if anybody lives long enough that they live longer than their relatives, friends, loved ones, they may have the opportunity to see what happens when somebody leaves this body behind. And actually, that's what happens. Krishna describes it in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Ukramantam Stitam Vapi. This is an interesting way about talking about what we call in the West death, which is not something you bring up when you go home for the holidays and you're sitting down for a Thanksgiving dinner. People say, what would you like to talk about? Movies? Politics? Death. Krishna says, what is that? Utkramantam. Krama means to step. Utkramantam means you step out of your body. And where do you go? Well, that's the great subject matter in the Bhagavad Gita, where you go when you step out of this body. Of course, we do it at night. We're in the body, we leave it in idle. Like if you leave your car idling out there and you run up here to get a couple of rasgulas, a bag of prasadam, and you run back in. So at night, we leave our body idling. And we fly around in our mental body, and then come back in. But the so-called death means you actually step out, and you leave it behind. So when somebody leaves behind their body, everyone goes, oh, they left it behind along with all their stuff that they thought was their stuff. Now it's all left behind. So what do you do with the body? Generally, people in India burn the body. Not to get too macabre here, just to start off with, it's a Sunday family program here, but what happens is they burn the body. I'll get through this quickly. Burn the body, and what comes out is a bunch of ashes, because when you burn off the water, you get a big bag of ashes. And I've seen it a bunch of times, because I'm getting on in age, and I was the youngest in my family. So I've seen mother, father, sister, and lots of friends and others. And I've had the honor of taking their ashes to the holy Ganges, put them in the holy river, which is a recommended process. to help the person stepped out of their body. And you just observe, there's the earth, it's there. And I learned a long time ago that the body's mostly made up of water, about 70% water. It's a lot of water to slosh around. So earth, water, and then fire, if you feel the heat in your body right now. There's a homeostasis going on in your body. There's a temperature of 98.6, which is pretty warm, don't you think? And all the other elements are there, but we can observe and see that I'm not these elements. I'm observing the elements, but I'm separate from them. So Krishna describes how the energy, which is called the separated energy, is categorically different from our self. The self is in a category that is unique. It's from a higher energy, he says. I'll say the verse again. Aparayam itas tvanyam prakritim vidimi param. So param means supreme. There's a lower energy and a higher energy. The higher energy is better than the lower energy. And that higher energy is who we really are, the self. And similarly, in this world, there are different kinds of sound vibration. There's material sound vibration, and there's spiritual sound vibration. And in one of the most ancient scriptures in the world, a bhakti scripture called the Shrish Upanishad, it is said, Anyad eva hura sambhavad, anyad ahura sambhavad, iti shushum adhiranam yenas tad vitichakshade. That means that great saints and sages have studied these two energies, these two kind of vibrations. And they've distinguished that there's one result obtained when you take in material sound vibration, and you get a completely different result in your life when you take in spiritual sound vibration. Does that make sense? One side, you take material sound vibration, it's a lower vibration, and the result that you get in your life is completely different than if you take in a higher sound vibration, a spiritual sound vibration. So this is a very important distinguishing factor, because oftentimes we don't like what we're being subjected to in life. So the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhakti scriptures have an easy solution, and that is change the subject. Change the subject that you're listening to. So this is one of the primary tenets of the practice of a spiritual bhakti yoga. And that is to distinguish between the lower energy and the higher energy, to see the difference between one's self and one's mechanical body, which is really a biological robot that we maintain every day with biofuel. Did anybody have any biofuels today? Say yes. Yeah. Unless you fasted, then don't say anything. You ate some biofuel energy from the sun. It got assimilated into your body, photosynthesis in the leaves, the Krebs cycle going through the cells in the body, and then you have energy in this biological robot and able to move around. But you're distinct from that. You're a spiritual entity. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that there are various ways that you can organize your life around regularly taking in spiritual sound vibration so that there's a noticeable change in your attitude towards life, the way you see the world, the way you react to things. And there's a famous verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that says that it's such a natural and simple process that it's just like eating. Anybody here hungry right now? Yes? How do you know you're hungry?
Because I feel I'm hungry.
Because you feel you're hungry? It's natural. You can sense it, right? Can somebody get her a little prasad? Yeah, I was thinking about it the other day. I felt hungry and I thought, I wonder how I know that. I wonder how I know that I'm hungry. I just know. And so the Bhagavatam, this book that is sitting right here, says something remarkable about the practice of spiritual life. It's not based on somebody else's giving you a certificate, but you should be able to experience it directly in the same way that you can experience hunger directly. So the verse says that when you're hungry, you know it. And you also know it when you eat a good meal, when you're hungry. And what do you get? You get satisfaction, nourishment, and your hunger diminishes. And you know for yourself when that's happening, right? Nobody has to come in and say, okay, you're full now, stop. You can judge for yourself. In a similar way, when one deliberately, and this is the spiritual practice, deliberately listens to spiritual sound vibration, one will experience a spiritual nourishment from within one's own heart. One will also begin to look at the world differently. You'll have what's called a realization or spiritual knowledge, which means the ability to see the difference between the lower energy and the higher energy, to be able to make the distinction between these two. And thirdly, you'll have the wherewithal to give up bad habits that trouble you. Oftentimes, we try to shake off bad habits and they keep catching back on. But the Bhagavatam says, if you practice this kind of yoga, which has to do with listening to this book, Srimad Bhagavatam, in a regulated fashion every day, the verses that are in Srimad Bhagavatam, then you'll notice for yourself a spiritual nourishment. And what it's like is you just feel happy for no reason. And some of your friends might look at your family and say, why are you so happy today? And say, for no reason. I just am happy. This is a symptom of spiritual nourishment, that you suddenly feel happy for no reason. You don't have to have a reason. You didn't get something in the mail. You didn't. You don't have a friend coming over or something that you know would make you jolly. You just naturally feel happy. This is one of the symptoms of taking in spiritual sound vibration. And then the habits that you found hard to shake before, at first you'll start to see that they become easier to deal with, and they start to drop away on their own, kind of naturally. At first, it's hard to tell. Just like anybody here ever had an illness and for which you took some kind of medicine. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. Few of you. And so oftentimes when we have an illness and we take medicine, we're not sure right away if the medicine's working. Because first day, second day, third day, I'm taking the medicine, but I still feel ill. But maybe fourth day, there's a slight recognition that maybe I'm better. No, yes, no. But then the fifth day, the medicine starts to really act and go, I'm definitely feeling better now. I can sense it. It's working. Sixth day, practically clear. Seventh day, back to full strength. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described how when one hears from this book on a regular basis, one naturally starts to feel spiritual health. And the first symptom of that is jolliness. You feel jolly. And the second is that you start to see the difference between matter and spirit wherever you look. You have a sense of respect for all life. And also, there's a deep feeling of compassion for others because you can empathize with all other living entities and what they're going through in their sojourn in this world. And the third is that you start to feel that the pesky habits which have clung for some time and troubled you start to clear away on their own, these three things. And you can see it for yourself. You start to feel spiritual health, and you start to feel this nourishment in the same way as when you eat a meal. So this is well known to the very advanced practitioners of bhakti. They know about Srimad Bhagavatam and the vibration that's inside. Now, this may look like a book, and it is, but because there are higher and lower energies, we can't say that this book and every other book in the world are exactly the same. This book is a nexus. It's a juncture between the spiritual realm, the spiritual energy, and the material energy. Yes, they're here we have before us ink and paper. But what's on the paper and the written word that's there is a combination of syllables that are altogether spiritual. Now, why would you believe that? Why would you believe that some words or speech is more important than others? Again, I'm basing this on the theory that there are higher and lower energies. But let me give you a practical example. If you're walking down the street today, and somebody comes up to you in an intoxicated state, and they're saying all kinds of nonsensical things off into the air, which is possible, right? I know it is. I was out there yesterday. And they walk up to you and say, I'll give you $1 million. What does it mean to you? But what does it actually mean? The man says, I'll give you $1 million.
He's drunk anyway.
Drunk anyway, but you wouldn't take it too seriously? Okay. So what if you went to court and the high court judge was there and he had a case in front of him. And then at the end of the case, he said, I'm awarding you $1 million. And then he took his gavel and he banged it on the desk. Does that have any meaning?
Yes.
Yes? What does it mean?
He's got some authority.
It means you're going to get $1 million. Because, pounds, sorry. Americans. I count it, the horrible people. Okay, so pounds. So you're going to get £1 million, which is more, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So you get £1 million. And you said it, because there's authority. If you go to somebody for a little operation you're going to have, somebody's going to operate on your eye, and you go there, and you look around, and you say, are you a real doctor? And they say, yeah, I'm a real doctor. He said, do you have a diploma? He said, yeah, and you look on the wall and somebody made it themselves. Would you take the operation? What if you go in and you see that they went, what's your best medical school here?
Cambridge.
Cambridge. They went to Cambridge. They have all the this and that. And plus they came with great recommendations. It's on the wall. You'll have a little more trust, you'll see. But the fact is that there's a vast difference between the judge saying you get $1 million in an authorized setting and somebody walking down the street and saying you get $1 million. There's authorized speech and there's whimsical speech. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, it comes from an authoritative source. It comes from, as we're claiming, a divine source. There's an original divine source of everything. And we claim that this vibration and the words that are written here come from that. Now back to the theory of how material meets spiritual. Krishna says it in the Bhagavad Gita. Verse, Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagnau brahmanohutam tenaiva brahmagantavya brahmakarma samadhina. And that means that you can turn matter, the lower energy, because originally it's from the same source, but it's separated by consciousness. You can turn lower energy into higher energy by utilizing it for a higher cause. It transforms. And here's an example in real life. If you take an iron rod and you put it in fire, like a blacksmith might do, and then you really pump up the fire and you leave the rod will get hotter and hotter and hotter until it becomes red hot. And if you look at that, you'll notice that it's no longer an iron rod. It's actually fire. It's been transformed. So what appears to be paper and ink, when it's utilized for the highest purpose and it comes from an authorized source, It takes on the original spiritual nature. And by connecting to the sound vibration, and that's a fancy way for saying reading the book or hearing the book from somebody else, you imbibe that vibration. And the word imbibe actually means to drink. But I'm using that, it sounds poetical, but throughout the literature, like Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes how we can actually drink through our ears. And it also says that you can take medicine through your ears, spiritual medicine. This is the normal way of taking spiritual medicine, is through the ears. And it goes from the ear into the heart. And I was thinking one day when I was walking near our home in San Francisco, California, where we're near the San Francisco Bay, and all the storm drains around the city have little placards on them in iron, and it has a picture of a fish, and it says, "No dumping, drains to bay." Do you know what that means? Anybody here? Any ecologists? Have you ever seen the bumper sticker that says, "We all live downstream"? What were you going to say? Yes, we have. Are you a scientist? Yes, I can tell the way you speak. What happens is you can dump 20 miles away from San Francisco Bay, and water seeks its own level, right? And it goes down into the groundwater, and it eventually ends up draining into the bay, and that's a big problem because little rivulets coming from various storm drains, and then it goes into the San Francisco Bay, and it becomes polluted. They discover all kinds of solvents and VOCs in there. How am I doing? VOCs. And similarly, as I was walking along, I was chanting, listening to the mantra as I was saying it. And then I realized that my ears are like those storm drains. Whatever comes in here ends up within the bay of my heart. And so I should have a little placard up here that says, "No dumping, drains to bay." And this is very simply the science of the practice of Krishna consciousness. You change your life by changing the subject matter that you subject yourself to. If you don't like what you're being subjected to, change the subject. And the infrastructure of this organization is geared toward helping everyone organized, or I should say, reorganize their lives in order to take in spiritual sound vibration. The primary vibrations are two. One is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, which I briefly explained, in which we participated in. And the second is hearing from this book called Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the most primal vibration from the spiritual world, which is written in codes, meaning language, Sanskrit translated into English, and through which there's detailed explanations of the meaning given by authorized teachers who are masters. So if one regularly hears this, one will experience spiritual elevation by degrees. And this was well known to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And that is why, when he came to America, he brought with him the Srimad Bhagavatam. He had started writing it when he was in Vrindavan, India. And when he had the first canto in hand, he took the leap across the ocean. He still didn't have any money, he still didn't have any contacts, but at least he had enough to start a worldwide re-spiritualization because he had the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as he rolled out his spiritual movement, which he had been thinking about for many years, he worked diligently on bringing out the rest of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's 12 cantos in this book. He got all the way to the 10th canto, 13th chapter. There's a lot more to go after that. And because he had trained his followers, his direct followers and disciples, so meticulously, in the science of Krishna consciousness, tirelessly giving classes every day, sometimes three times a day, inviting them to go deeply within the philosophy, working with them meticulously so that they could understand the subtle meanings of the philosophy. He trained them so that when he left, they could carry on the work and finish the rest of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And miraculously, that book has become available for some time and has been spreading all over the world. So those who are interested in the intimate and very intense practice of bhakti are invited by the Srimad Bhagavatam itself to take up this practice of regular hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam. A couple of verses that Srila Prabhupada had written in his diary on the boat. It was a Jaladuta, it was the name of the boat, and it was a freighter. It was coming over from India to America, and he just actually got a free ride on that freighter. He wrote in his diary that these several verses that explain what happens to you when you listen to the book. And just for the pleasure of hearing the Sanskrit, I'll recite some of those verses. It starts off, Shushushra Shradhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syan Mahatsevaya Vipra Punyatirta Nishevanat. This means that when you render service to greatly elevated spiritual personalities, this is really great service. And what happens is you gain an affinity for hearing from this book, Srimad Bhagavatam. Next verse says, Shrinvatam swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana trijantaksto hibhadrani vitunoti suhritsatam, which says, Lord Sri Krishna, who is the Paramatma, the super soul, which means he dwells in everyone's heart. Lord Sri Krishna, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, appreciates the devotee who relishes the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam and helps the devotee from within the heart, gives assistance to take away any of the impurities that are within the heart. And then, Nashta Prayi Shubhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki, which describes what I described before as the gradual improvement of health upon taking medicine. Remember that part? How you can't tell at first exactly? So this verse says that as you continue to hear from this book, Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll begin to notice a partial clearing of the unreasonable attachments that you might notice in your life that cause you pain and tribulation. And you start to feel a modicum of spiritual strength. And then the next verse says that all of the attachments then become destroyed completely as you go along with the process. Pitite hridaya grantish, which means it's like a sword coming and cutting the knots that tie us to bad habits in this world, and you actually become free and come to the highest spiritual level. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sanga sujayate, which means that you suddenly feel joyful in your life. You become happy for no reason. Evam prasanna. Everyone say prasanna. It means joyful for no reason. You're just blissful, happy. And this is the beginning stages of attaining spiritual health, and they're documented in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are so many beautiful poems and details about spiritual life that are so insightful that one will experience for oneself that this is coming from an otherworldly source. It's not of this world. And it is a book that is, it declares at its very outset, that has no material motive whatsoever. The only motive behind this book is to bring one to complete spiritual health, not offering any material incentive at all, only spiritual. So this is for the connoisseur of spiritual life. It's also for beginners who have a sense of sincerity and appreciate the fact that there's higher and lower energy, and that there are higher authorities, there are spiritual authorities, and that there is an original divine source. This gives one an opportunity to connect to that original divine source through the sound vibration. So I come from Silicon Valley, and the main reason I came here was to meet with all of you. It really was. And the primary message that I carry with me is that if you keep this book in your home, your life will change, and even if you don't read it. Even if you just take it and put it in your home, because there's a lot of books here. Actually, that's just a few of them, because it's a bait and switch. And we wanted to put a few up here and then show you the big box later. But actually, there's so many books here that when you move it into your home, you'll probably have to move a few other things out. And our spiritual master used to give the example that if you have a glass of ink and you keep pouring a pure substance like milk inside, then gradually all the ink will come out and there'll only be milk. So even if you don't have time to read the Bhagavatam right now, if you put it in your home, you'll notice that the vibration of your house changes. And the last point I'll make is that one of the greatest teachers of all time of Bhakti Yoga, who lived a few hundred years ago, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, taught that the Srimad Bhagavatam is no different from Krishna's own planet in the spiritual world called Goloka Vrindavan. If anybody knows about astrology, you know that planets are actually personalities, and they're called grahas. They have a way of they have influence over us in this world. They have a certain power, so they're called grahas or grahas. And if you look at anybody's astrological chart, you'll be able to see ups and downs. And when you move the Goloka Vrindavan planet into your environment, it changes everything. It eclipses the other influences in your life. And this is documented in the Sri Brahma Samhita. Yas twindra gopa matavendra mahosa karma bandhan rupa palabhajana matanoti karmani nirdahati kintu chupakti bhajam govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. And that is, when you take to the direct process of bhakti, then all the other bad influences in your life begin to be destroyed by the process of bhakti. And so this is the primary way that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended, was to take this book, put it in your home. And so I don't get a profit from any of this, except spiritually. But I recommend everyone take a set of Bhagavatams. Don't even worry how much it is, because it's insignificant. Whatever the price is, it doesn't matter. Just take it and give whatever you have to give. Take the book. Run, don't walk. Get this book and put it in your home. And also, it's a nice thing to have done when you get this book and put it in your house. You can invite the devotees over, or they all invite themselves probably, to come to your house, and they will do a small ceremony. It takes about 10 or 15 minutes to install the Bhagavatam in your house. And it'll leave a lasting impression in your house, apartment, mobile home, or if you're homeless. I've seen a homeless man in Santa Cruz, California, who is so spiritually inclined that he bought the whole set of Srimad Bhagavatams from a Karunath Prabhu. And he kept them in a city locker, and he'd sit in the park all day and read it. And he became so spiritually advanced that he gradually became initiated, a devotee, and he had a lot of seriously bad habits at the time, and he was able to overcome those. It's a true story. So it doesn't matter if you live in a big fancy home or if you live on the street, you should still have Srimad Bhagavatam. That's just my humble opinion. And I hope that when you take the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll let me know the next time I come back here the effect it has had in your life. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. Now what we'll do is take a few reflections. They're different from questions because questions have a question mark at the end and I'll have to answer it. But a reflection means it's much easier for all of us. It just means that one thing that you heard in the class that made sense to you or that you found possibly useful, that you could take that one phrase or idea, put it in your pocket, and walk out of here with something. And if somebody catches you on the street down there and says, "What was that guy talking about in there?" this is what you'll tell them. Buy Srimad Bhagavatam. Correct. Do buy Srimad Bhagavatam. Put it in your house. What else?
I've come across various versions or like imprinted material of Srimad Bhagavatam. Various authors have written it. Like, I'm very confused every time I come across.
Be confused no longer. This Srimad Bhagavatam includes all of the various acharyas. So they're all represented there. The greatest acharyas are known as, of course, Srila Vyasadeva, who compiled this in the first place. Then you have Madhva, you have Ramanuja, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and you have A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are many more, Srila Vira Raghavacharya, but those are the main ones. They're all represented in this book. That's why scholars all over the world prefer this version to any other, because it's so authorized and because it synthesizes the teachings of all the greatest acharyas. This is the way in which spiritual literature is rightly presented. It's mentioned, Shruti, Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Panchratriki, Vidinvina, Aikantiki, Harir, Bhaktiru, Patayaiva, Kalpate. It has to follow the, it has to triangulate with all the other scriptures and the teachings of the great acharyas. And that's what this book does. It is accepted in all the major academies around the world as the definitive version of Srimad Bhagavatam. A few more. Here, let's give her the microphone. This is, give it to the doctor. Just coming, the reason we use the microphone, see this camera here in the middle? This is live streaming on Facebook. There's sometimes 10,000 people watching. We have a few here. This is what we call the live studio audience. The rest of everybody else. And they can hear you only if you hold the microphone right next to your chin. Sorry.
I said your golden words of wisdom say raise your lower energy levels to higher energy levels.
That's so nice what you said. It's concisely the process of spiritual life to raise your energy from lower to higher, and you can do that by distinguishing, learning what is lower energy, what is higher energy. There's an authorized process for doing it. Thank you very much. Yes? Pandit in the corner. We'll get you the mic in 7 seconds or less, or your money back from this seminar today. Three, two,
That we can see through our ears and that our heart is the bait?
Yes. The ears are like storm drains, and whatever we take in through the ears drains to the heart. Now, interestingly, in the Bhakti scriptures, it's mentioned that the body is like a chariot, and the driver is the heart. And whatever is there in the heart will direct our wanderings in this world. And so when we take in proper spiritual instruction, our heart will be directed properly and we'll make progress. Thank you. Two more from this side of the room. Yes. Here it comes. Five, four, three, two.
Thank you. That's, we don't need to be told that we're making spiritual advancement. We can directly experience it in the same way that a hungry person experiences satisfaction and nourishment by eating.
Exactly. And, of course, there are higher and higher levels of spiritual life. There's never a plateau. It goes on forever increasing. And there are levels at which one begins to appreciate taking guidance from those who have reached even higher levels than we have to help one understand how to come to higher and higher stages. And sometimes when taking that guidance, such guides can advise us by the way that we're moving in the world and the way that we're conducting our spiritual life, how we're doing as well. I just wanted to add that because although it's intrinsic and it's something that we can experience for ourselves, we can take help from every different part of the world in order to move forward spiritually. Thank you. Una mas. Egor. Yes.
Egor.
Through spiritual life, you can experience happiness for no reason.
That's right. Because the normal course of activities when I'm conducted by the mind is that I think I'll be happy when I get something else or I become something more. But a profound realization of oneself reveals that we already are something. You don't have to become anything else. You're already something so profound. You're a spiritual part of the original divine whole. And when you see that for yourself, all you have to do is see it. Even for a fraction of a second, you can see that. And you'll feel overwhelming happiness and joy. And that, it only increases from there. Because there are a lot more features. Besides just seeing it or experiencing it, one can actually enter into an intimate relationship with the Supreme Whole. And that's what this book, Srimad Bhagavatam, claims, is by hearing this, one naturally develops one's original relationship with the original divine source, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Time? We have 1 minute and 7 seconds to move the microphone this way. Is that you raising your hand? Oh, good.
I have heard many times, you know, in recent past, the importance of chanting in the spiritual life. But, you know, I'm confused. There are many more, you know, mantras I have found, and which one is the best one to chant in the spiritual life?
I mentioned in the beginning from the Kali's Hunter, Arana Upanishad, was a highly authoritative scripture, that in the age of Kali Yuga, the chanting of the Maha Mantra, which is specifically listed there, it has 16 words and 32 syllables, is the best mantra for the age of Kali Yuga. So you can take it from there. This is called an omnibus mantra because it contains all the other mantras. That's why it's called the Maha Mantra. And it's George Harrison, which I should quote George Harrison in every class while I'm here, because he's beloved to everybody in the Hare Krishna movement and hopefully to everybody in the UK. Yes? Can I get a yes on that?
Yes.
Sriman George Harrison? Yes. He said, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. And so, if you take it from the authority of the scripture and from the great teachers, it's just like, how do you know which medicine is the best, who knows what? Go find out which is authoritatively suggested and then try it for yourself and see if it doesn't help you out. It will. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. The Srimad Bhagavatam will be available outside just after. Actually, it's available inside. If you charge the front here, we won't mind. Because you should be very enthusiastic to take this. We've stacked up several hundred of these cases so that we don't have a riot or something like that afterwards. And you can take them away. And there's some nominal fee for taking these books, which is insignificant. It probably costs less than maybe a salad here on Soho Street. I don't know what salads cost, a couple hundred pounds or something like that. Hare Krishna.
Natari Armarman, 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 Natari Armarman.